decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Welcome every squirrel fan around the globe. We're glad to have you with us here this morning. This is the podcast where we read the Bible and talk about what it says. And if you're watching the live stream, you notice that I'm working on the lighting in the studio. It's a lot brighter in here, but it's still not what I want. So I'm going to have to do some more work, but it's better. It's better than it was. So we'll keep working on this. And I got one of those big umbrella photography lights that it actually gives me quite a bit of light. And but I need more light back over here. So I'm going to figure something out, I'm sure. But in the meantime, welcome to the newer, brighter edition of Squirrel Chatter. And as I said, this is the podcast where we read the Bible and talk about what it says. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts over there. There's always good stuff to listen to. You'll be sure to find something to stick in your earbuds as you go about the day. And new shows are being added all the time. I didn't put it in my notes, but I was just listening to a new show that they're thinking about bringing on called Theology in the Street, something like that. It's Pastor Dom is the host. I'll post a link in the show notes. I don't think Pastor Dom is officially a member of the Christian Podcast Community yet, but I've listened to a few of his episodes, and it's good stuff. And I was one of the guys who, when they put out that email to all of the podcasters saying, hey, we're thinking about adding this guy, what do you think? I listened to a few of his shows and said, yeah, thumbs up, I like this guy. But he's definitely got that New York accent. So I hope he's from New York. It's either New York or New Jersey, somewhere up there. But he's got that accent, and but it's a good podcast. He does some good stuff, and then there's lots of great podcasts over there. Check them out. And also, our scripture reading today is Genesis 28 and 29 and Mark 11, and then we've got some Monday meanderings today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the purpose of preaching, and I hope you'll find that interesting. We'll get to it after the reading. Let's go ahead and jump in then with our prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis 28 and 29. Genesis 28. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become an assembly of peoples. May he also give you the blessings of Abraham, to you and to your seed with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take for himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had listened to his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan were displeasing in the sight of his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife, besides the wives that he had. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Then he had a dream. And behold, a ladder stood on the earth, with its top touching heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, "I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed, and your seed will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How fearsome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob arose early the next morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey on which I am going, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in peace, then Yahweh will be my God. Now this stone which I have set up as a pillar, as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Chapter 29. Then Jacob took up his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And behold, three flocks of sheep were laying there beside it. Far from that well, they gave water to the flocks to drink. For from that well, they gave water to the flocks to drink. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large, and all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and give water to the sheep to drink and return the stone back to its place on the mouth of the well. And Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." Then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" And they said, "It is well. And here is Rachel, his daughter, coming with the sheep." And he said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time to give the livestock for the livestock to be gathered. Give water to the sheep to drink and go pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered." And they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we give water to the sheep to drink. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now it happened, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and gave water to the flock of Laban, his mother's brother, to drink. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. So it happened that when Laban heard the report of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him, and he embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Then he recounted to Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone, you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him 1 month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they were in his sight but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered all the men in the place and made a feast. Now it happened in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Laban also gave his servant woman Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a servant woman. Now it happened in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve me for another 7 years." And Jacob did so and fulfilled his week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his servant woman Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her servant woman. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban for another 7 years. And Yahweh saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. For she said, "Because Yahweh has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because Yahweh has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise Yahweh." Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Mark chapter 11. And as they approached Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door, outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and put their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches, having cut them from the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at the distance a fig tree that had leaves, he went to see if it perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. They came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he was not permitting anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den?" And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him. For the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they were going out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look at the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to him, Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. For this reason I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Then they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him and began saying to him, By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question and you answer me. And then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they were afraid of the crowd, for everyone was regarding John to have been a real prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, We do not know. And Jesus said to them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have begun week 3 of 2022 by reading the scriptures. We'll go ahead and check it off on our checklist. Week 3 has begun. And you know, as fast as a year goes, it's going to seem like just a few weeks we're going to be looking back as we're checking, making the last check mark on our checklist and think, wow, we've done it. We've made it through the whole Bible in a year. I hope you're following along. I am reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. And you can read the entire Bible online at read.lsbible.org. And so I would encourage you to read along. If you have a paper copy of the LSB, that's awesome. If you don't, you can read it online, as I said. By the end of this month, they're supposed to have it out to all of the Bible app developers. From what I understand, I've had word from Accordance that as soon as they have it, Accordance is going to have it up. I know that the Literal Word mobile app is planning on incorporating the LSB as soon as they are able. And in my opinion, the Accordance is what I use on my computer to study. But I believe that the Literal Word Bible app is the best app for your phone. And it's available both for the iPhone and for the Android. And so you can find it in the various app stores. And that is my favorite Bible app for my phone. That's the one. If I'm going to look something up, if I'm out and about and I don't have a, and I need to look up something real quick, that is the app I go to. Although I also have Accordance on my phone. And if I need to do any kind of deep study or look in depth, I've got commentaries and stuff there in Accordance. But if I'm just looking up a passage of scripture, like if I'm, if I didn't take a Bible to church and I'm sitting and listening to a sermon, or if I'm waiting around in a waiting room somewhere and I'm listening to a sermon, and I want to follow along in the scriptures in my Bible, it's the Literal Word app that I open up. And right now, the app just has the New American Standard Bible, but the app online, the Literal Word online site, has the New American Standard and the ESV. And my understanding is that when they upgrade the mobile app, they're going to add the Legacy Standard Bible and the ESV. So you'll have all three Bible translations available to you on that mobile app, as I understand it. I am not in any way an official spokesman for those folks, but I'm just passing on what I have heard. So it is Monday Meanderings, and I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about the purpose of preaching. And what brought this up was last week, I found a meme on social media. I didn't create it. I found a meme, and I liked it, so I shared it. And I shared it on several of the social media sites that I'm on, because I am on Twitter and Facebook, of course, and if you're watching it live, you're watching it live right now on Twitter and Facebook. I'm also on Gitter and Gab and Parler and MeWe and CloudHub. So if you just search for Squirrel, Shinar Squirrel, or search for Gene Cliott on any of those apps, you should find me. And but I found this meme, and I thought it was funny, and so I shared it. And the meme had a caption, and it said, "To all of my pastor friends trying to figure out what to preach on in 2022, I stumbled across this great list of sermon series ideas." And that caption is on a picture of the table of contents page of the Bible. So basically, it's a list of the books of the Bible, which I thought was great. That's what you're supposed to preach. And obviously this is aimed at those preachers, and preachers is in quotes, who preach on topics that are drawn from culture and society, not from, scripture. I can't imagine. Right now, the hot movie is the new Spider-Man movie. And I know for a fact that there are Spider-Man movie sermon series where people are trying to draw life lessons from Spider-Man for the purpose of, for what they're going to preach on, which is not what we're supposed to preach on. Well, And that's what the meme is aimed at. You know, I mean, these are the preachers that around Valentine's Day, you're going to get a series on love and marriage. You know, around April 15th, you're going to get a series on money management, which will probably include a heavy emphasis on tithing. You know, just think about those tax deductions you can get if you tithe to the church, because you can deduct everything that you send to... Whatever. sorry, I'm not a huge fan of that type of preaching for obvious reasons. And the reason I'm not a fan of that preaching is that that's not what we're supposed to be preaching. Preachers are supposed to be preaching the Word of God. Now, on one of the social media sites that I posted this meme, I got a response. And the respondent said, along with a little Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers ellipsis, So he wants me to preach the Bible and the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers. Well, that's an interesting thing because the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers were, of course, the opposite sides of the argument on the ratification of the Constitution of the United States back in 1787. The Federalist Papers were written by the guys who wrote the Constitution trying to promote the acceptance of the Constitution. The Anti-Federalist Papers were written by opponents of the Constitution arguing against its ratification. And they are part of the founding documents of our country. They're not law, but they are, if you want to understand what the Constitution says and means, reading the Federalist Papers is a good idea. If you want to understand some of the problems that even at that time were seen with the constitutional form of government, read the Anti-Federalist Papers. And last year, the year before, I subbed for a high school teacher in an American government class. And it was about halfway through the year. It was right before Christmas or right after Christmas break. So about halfway through the year, this is a halfway through the class of a group of seniors, high school seniors, 17, 18 years old, studying American government. Now, in our discussions that day, I discovered that they had not read the Constitution. It's American government class. They had not read the Constitution. They had not read, Maverick, most of them didn't even know what the Federalist Papers were, let alone had read them. And you know, certainly not the Anti-Federalist Papers. And I asked, you know, well, what were they doing? Well, they were talking about current events and politics and what was going on in Washington today. Now, a little of that, I think, is a good idea, but it's an American government class. They need to be learning the Constitution. They need to be learning the form of government that we have, that we are a democratic republic, and what that means and how that's supposed to work. And so I was very disappointed in that. And I have a copy of the Constitution and a copy of the Federalist Papers on the shelf here behind me, because that's something that I believe is very, very important. But it's not a topic for a sermon. That's not what we're supposed to preach. And so I replied to this comment. I said, that's good stuff, but not exactly sermon material. Preach the word. See, the purpose of the Sunday gathering is to proclaim the word of God to the people of God. It's not to teach government. It's not to expound on politics. Now, there are things in the Bible that have a direct bearing on politics, and we don't avoid those things. And those things need to be mentioned. But that's not the same thing as preaching from the Federalist Papers. I would never do that. Would I do that in a government class? Absolutely. Would I do that in a U.S. history class? You bet. Would I do that with a friend who is trying to understand government? Yep, sure would. Would I do it here on the podcast? Yeah, I would. Matter of fact, I probably should. But I'm not going to do it from the pulpit on Sunday, because that's not the purpose of the Sunday morning sermon. Well, he replied to my reply, "Freedom and God go hand in hand. The founding freedom of this nation was taught in the church. Bring the good stuff back. Don't be a coward." So I guess in this gentleman's opinion, And the funny, this guy doesn't follow me on that social media platform. He and I are not connected in any way. But the meme that I shared got shared by other people. And so I assume he's some friends with somebody who shared the meme or commented on the meme or whatnot. But he saw it and commented on it. But he probably doesn't listen to the podcast. If he does, you know, here's the long form explanation of why I said what I said. I certainly don't think I'm cowardly, and I don't avoid political topics by any means. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that. I've talked about all sorts of stuff, and will continue to do so. But a sermon on Sunday morning is to proclaim the word of God. That's what Paul told Timothy. And this is actually the strongest command in Scripture. It really is the strongest commandment, strongest worded commandment. Now, of course, we know that the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And those are of prime importance. But this is the one that is the most strongly worded, which I think bears weight and tells us, hey, this is really important. This is what Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, the first five verses of 2 Timothy 4. Listen to the way he words this. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. This is the charge. This is how Paul is expressing this charge. I charge you in the presence of God, and charge is a word for command. I order you. Yeah. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That is a strong charge. Yeah. This is an order given by Paul to his protege Timothy, and he expresses it so that there is no doubt that this is something that Timothy is supposed to do. And not just Timothy, but by extension, every preacher of the Bible, every minister of Jesus Christ. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. That's the commandment. That's the charge. That's this important commandment that Paul gives to Timothy. He can just be ready in season and out of season. And I like the way John MacArthur puts it. There's a lot of debate on what it means to be in season and what it means to be out of season. But the fact of the matter is, you're either in season or out of season. So this means all the time. Preach the word all the time. Reprove, that is to point out error. Rebuke, that is to command people to stop committing error. Exhort, that is to encourage someone to correct error or to continue in the right way. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and teaching. Preach the word. Teach what it says. Reprove and rebuke the people that are not obeying it. Exhort those who are to obey it more. Teach what it means. Do so patiently. I I remember when I hit my 10th anniversary as pastor at Parkside, a good friend of mine in Tennessee, Jim McLarty, was hitting his 20th year. He was 10 years ahead of me. And so we were just chatting on Facebook. And I said, Jim, you're 10 years ahead of me. What advice can you give me? And Jim has a way with words. And he said this. He said, you know, Gene, sometime in the last month, it occurred to me that my church, Grace Christian Assembly in Nashville area, said, it occurred to me that my church was right about where I thought they ought to be after the second sermon. And he's right. We want change overnight. We come in, we know what the Bible says, we want to preach the word, we want the people just to turn on a dime. It doesn't happen. People grow at different rates. People are affected by different outside forces that hinder their Christian growth. There's all sorts of stuff like that we need to take into account. We need to be patient. And but Paul continues. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And folks, a lot of that topical preaching that I talked about earlier is exactly of this sort. People don't want to hear about sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. People don't want to hear how wickedly evil they are and how in need of a Savior they are. People want to hear how to have a better marriage. People want to hear how to be, you know, how to have a better professional life at work. People want to hear how to manage their money. People want to hear how to raise their kids. They want this practical advice, which often is not as practical as it sounds, because it's usually drawing on sources other than the Bible. And so the advice that's given is often not as practical as it should be. But people want this practical day-to-day stuff that tickles their ears. You know, basically they want, you know, Dr. Phil telling them, you know, how to make their lives better. They don't want to hear about their need to repent of their sins and their need to turn to Christ. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth and they will turn aside to myths. They'd be happy to listen to political speeches. I think many church services have become political speeches on the left and the right. But the church is not the place for that. The church is the place for the preaching of the word. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The instruction of his people in the things of the word. At the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28, chapter 16 through 20, we have what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission were Jesus' orders to his disciples and, by extension, to the church, all of us, as to what was supposed to happen. And there's nothing about opposing the Roman government. There's nothing about any of that in there. It's all about, well, let's just read it. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples of all the nations, not just the Jews. This was to be a global movement. Go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to keep all the commandments that I command. Teach them to keep all that I commanded you. And so there we have it. That's the purpose of the church. Go and make disciples. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Baptize them. That's the charge of the church. And throughout the epistles, that charge is further refined and explained what Jesus meant. And nowhere more soundly than 2 Timothy 4. How do you make disciples? Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. That's how you make disciples. That's the only way you make disciples. The church is not charged to make political disciples. The church is not charged to promote any specific form of government. Quite honestly, I'm a monarchist. Jesus is king and everybody should obey him. I have a great affinity for monarchy, probably because I studied history and especially the kings of England. It's going to be a sad day when Elizabeth II passes from the scene. Having been Queen of England my whole life, and I am an Anglophile, I admit it. I love English history. I love English culture. Other than fish and chips, I'm not real fond of English food, but that's a different thing altogether. We're not to make political disciples. That's not our purpose. The purpose of the church is to preach the word. So, it's Monday. I hope you went to church yesterday. I hope you heard the word preached yesterday. If you're attending a church there, they don't preach the word, talk to the elders, talk to the pastor. If you're getting sermon series on how to raise your kids and how to repair a bike or political messages or any of that, you know, how to manage your finances, how to raise your kids, how to have a better marriage, these things are not unimportant. And the Bible does talk about a lot of these things. But way too often, these series of messages aren't drawn from the Bible. I think that was one of the things. If you wanted to know how to manage money, the late Larry Burkett left some great material. And he did a good job. And I used to listen to him before he passed away. I'd listen to him on the radio. And he always had good stuff, but he based it in the scriptures. Now, he was not the church. He was not preaching on a Sunday morning. He was doing a radio show on Christian radio to help Christians manage their finances using principles drawn from the scriptures. And he always backed up what he said from scripture. And it was good stuff. But it wasn't Sunday morning. And as much as I appreciated Larry Burkett, and as much as I learned from Larry Burkett, and as much as I tried to practice things that Larry Burkett laid out, that's not Sunday morning. And if those messages were preached from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, I would be very upset because that's not the time or the place. And the Sunday morning pulpit is not the time or the place for the Constitution of the United States, the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, or the Hippocratic Oath, or the pledge of the Dog Catchers Alliance. It's the place for the Word of God to be proclaimed faithfully, completely, boldly, without apology. So yeah, preach the word and go to a church where the word is preached. Well, thank you for being with us here on Squirrel Chatter on this Monday morning as we start a new week. Glad to have you with us. Remember, please, to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you here again tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.